oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the dark, I played my dream. Purple culture flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Purple culture, B-I-L-B, I'm the king. Wrapping up in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 383 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Oh, good to be here with y'all. And here we are on all platforms, strangely enough. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! EMF rocks. Promo code PERMA will get you 10% off. And I think they even have a bigger special going on right now. Man, I got those things all over this place. Like I did. Well, I couldn't do that interview right here on YouTube for all of the reasons out there that we usually cite. I'm usually never on the Perma Pastures Farm channel. It's usually on the Pimpcast channel, Williams channel, and also on a Rumble channel, but almost never. In fact, if there's anybody that has any kind of medical, whatever, it's never going to be on here, y'all. That's how crazy it's gotten. So anyway, if you want to hear that interview, I think you would be well served to do so. That's going to be on Rumble, and it's going to be on the audio platforms. But anyway, EMF protection. Son, you guys have one of those bags that I bought when I was out there. How's it working?
Yeah, no, that bag is awesome. I would say, like, it's probably the single biggest game changer as far as, like, sleep goes that I've noticed in this house. It's night and day difference. Like, Emily and the baby have used it. I've used it. We've gone like periods of time where one person uses it for a while because Emily sleeps with the baby typically most nights. We'll go back and forth. Just we kind of tested it quite a bit, and it is a massive difference. And then I just got back from the road. Being able to sleep with that bag in close proximity again has been a massive game changer. That, y'all, I know it doesn't sound like rocks are going to do much as far as like locking up those EMFs. Even if you turn off the Wi-Fi, even if you have the grounding mats, even if you have that net that goes over the Wi-Fi stuff, like this EMF rocks is by far the biggest game changer I've ever noticed.
Yeah, sorry about that, Denise. She's asking, Billy, what sponsor? It's EMFrocks.com, and promo code PERMA will get you 10% off. In fact, I think they got a Black Friday thing going on. Folks, this thing works so well. I bought two bags, one for William, one for me. I wasn't sure whether or not this thing was going to work. I got it back to the house, and it worked so well, I was like, okay, I'm going to order some of these ones to put in my pocket. In fact, I mean, if I celebrated Christmas, man, this would be like the perfect stocking stuffer because they got smaller ones you can put in your pocket. And, son, I'll tell your mom to go ahead and order a couple of more for you guys. Yeah, this thing is the cat's meow. So, folks, I don't bring you garbage. I always bring the best. And it took me a while to be able to say, okay, I endorse a product out there. Until I feel the needle move, I'm not going to tell you about it. So we got, oh my goodness, man, I can't even tell you. Got one here in the office or in the podcast space / office. Got one down by the Wi-Fi router. Got another one over by the air filter. Got three of them on the bed. And I carry one in my car. In fact, the one I got in my cargo pocket, man, I don't go anywhere without it. It's right here. It's just a little bag. It's got these rocks in it. But if you want to know what it does, go check out the interview I did, and like I said, you're going to have to check that out on Rumble, or you're going to have to listen to it in the audio platform. It sure is funny how the best information we can provide out there always has to be done that way. But anyway, let me get down to brass tacks.
Well, hold on real quick on that, Dad. Like, two bags will cover 2,000 square feet, won't they?
No. Listen to the interview. Okay. It's a little bit more than that. Okay. So, anyway, folks, I want to thank everybody that's in the house here live tonight. Yeah, we're hitting all the platforms. And the only reason I'm doing that tonight is, number one, we just came off our latest suspension on YouTube. There's going to be a part in this program near the end when we get into it, y'all. We're going to talk about fifth generational warfare, and 99% of people don't even know what that is. Don't worry, we'll come to that in a little bit. All right, so, yeah. In fact, folks, I'm calling this my early Black Friday gift for everybody out there, because if you don't know what it is, by the end of this program, you're going to have a really good understanding about it. So let's just jump right into farm news. I want to thank everybody in the house. And by the way, if you're in here, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live so they can go ahead and start suppressing us, just like they did my latest front porch talk. How about that? Yeah, talking about the Epstein thing. And yeah, it sure is funny how things get so suppressed when you talk about something the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to discuss. And tonight's going to be one of those things, but I think we can work around the edges. There is one thing that we cannot bring up, but hopefully the two of us are clever enough to be able to tell you what it is without saying it on here, because if we say it, they will cut the feed. In fact, I found that out, did the research, found out that if I say this one thing, they're going to cut the feed, so I won't be doing that. All right, so we'll go right into the farm news. So one thing I've done is take the soil saviors, and I've talked about it before. There's this area of the property that I haven't given a whole lot of attention out here, and it had a lot of silvergrass on it, that Chinese silvergrass that is highly invasive. Nobody wants it. Nothing around here in the mountains eats it except for a water buffalo. And judging by what I've seen, ain't none of these hillbillies got water buffaloes up in these mountains. So nothing eats it, right? So, son, when you have something like this that they want to call invasive and nothing eats it, how do you go about tackling that?
Your soil biology just isn't in the correct ratio, or doesn't have the correct components. Like, anytime you have a pest or anything, you have something that's super prevalent. Well, let's talk about that. Anytime you have something that's super prevalent and it's kind of taken over everything else, it's trying to serve a function. It's trying to fulfill a role within the soil that's lacking. So if you have like kudzu, typically you have high erosion or you have a lack of nitrogen. If you let that kudzu kind of do its thing, it'll eventually give over to the next succession. Same thing with China's silvergrass. But if you know that it's going to do that, then you can speed up that succession. You can speed things up knowing what it's trying to do. That Chinese silvergrass, I'm not entirely sure what the role of it is, but we know that mom discovered that, or had the idea that, it did not like fungal dominant soils. And I would say she's 100% correct, just looking at where silvergrass doesn't grow, and that's in the forest. It only grows in bacteria dominant soils that are completely lacking any kind of fungal aspect to them.
So the problem, the whole reason we're even in this space, and a lot of other people are in these mountains with the silvergrass problems, is because of poor management. It's only there because the soils are way too compacted. Now, let me back up. The only reason it's even here is because the state thought it would be really cool to put it alongside interstates. Now there's entire mountainsides covered with this stuff. And everybody told me since we got here, oh, there's no way to get rid of it. Well, we've gotten rid of it. And that's where I'm coming back to soil saviors. So folks, I'm working on a protocol, and I'll kind of give you the template of it right now. When you have something you don't like, or something that shouldn't be there, or it's there for, like William said, all the wrong reasons, because it's trying to fix a function, you have too much of something or very little of something else, here's the protocol in a nutshell. And I would say when you're dealing more with toxicity, this is how I go about it. I would start out with soil saviors, and that's exactly what I've done. Put the soil, in fact, before I run the animals across there, I'll seed it first, and hopefully before rain. So when they go over there and they're, you know, grazing and doing what animals do, our sheep particularly, their hooves are pushing those seeds that I have out there into the surface, okay? So knocking out two birds with one stone. Then as soon as I get them out of there, I'm going to hit that area with soil saviors, and then I'm going to hit it again and then again and again. So I'm going to hit it weekly for about a month. And then at that point, the soil saviors is working like my U.S. Army sappers. They're there leading the way, creating a breach now for my compost extract. And that's where I'm at right now. So that's exactly the protocol I'm taking. And that's exactly what I'm doing. So another thing I did a video a while back where I talked about buying this lousy, awful, incredibly nasty compost that everybody's selling out there, and they're calling it mushroom compost or doing all this. And remember looking out of the microscope and what it looked like?
Yeah, there was nothing alive except for maybe sometimes nematode extracts. But I only noticed that, I think, on one brand, and it was bagged, and it was local to you guys. And the only thing they had was a nematode extract. But like, if you don't have the prey, think of the nematodes as like lions in the soil. If you don't have prey for the lions, then they're all going to die. Well, in this case, they're not going to just die. Some of them switch over and start eating your roots.
That's so right.
It's not beneficial to have nematodes and nothing else for them to eat.
Yeah. You got a bunch of different types of nematodes. You got the bacterial feeders, you got the fungal feeders, which are generally okay. You got others that are switchers, and that ain't cool. You got root feeders, and that ain't cool. So like William said, if you get the wrong nematodes up in there and that's the extractions that they've done, these guys could create absolute havoc on your place. But anyway, going out there and taking some of this nasty, awful stuff, they should be paying you to take it away. It's that bad, but they're charging top dollar for it. So you can use it strategically to get yourself over a hump. Now, here before too long, I'm going to have some Vigo beds come through. And I really like those things. Not the most permaculture-centric thing in the world, but, you know, I got more. I just got to use them where it works. So,
well, I would say that they are, because if you do the energy audit on them,
right,
they last forever.
Well, I'm saying that for all the purple-haired marchies out there that are going to say, oh, you know, you ought to be using fallen trees or whatever else. Folks, sometimes that just doesn't make sense for the area you may have it in. And these guys, the fact, like you said, you know, I'm looking, it is permaculture when I'm looking at the energy audit, when I weigh all this stuff out. Well, I'm going to need more soil. And one of the cheat codes you can do out there, folks, if you make good compost, really, really good compost, some, what can they do with that good compost to turn around really bad compost?
You can inoculate really bad compost with your really good compost, and you can inoculate yards and yards and yards of really bad compost with just one correctly high biological content compost pile that you made. So you don't need a whole lot of compost. It's not like it's a one-to-one ratio. Like one yard of good compost will inoculate like 1 yard of bad compost. I honestly don't really fully know the limit of how much one cubic yard of really good compost can inoculate. Kind of depends on like the biological viability. Like are you at the minimum of 135 micrograms of each bacteria and fungi within your compost? Or are you closer to like that? If I pick up a gram of compost, half of that is living organisms. It kind of depends on where on that ratio you are.
Yes, son, that's where I'm talking about, where let's say you had 10 yards of the really bad stuff. I wouldn't even need a one cubic yard to inoculate that whole pile. No. To turn it around. And now I got, okay, give it time. And this is another place, folks, I'm telling you, I'm doing it myself. I did it the first time, but I didn't go back and redo the video. Not redo the video, but we got so busy, I didn't finish it. So what I did was the same protocol I just described on the soil. I started off with the soil saviors, made sure whatever toxins or whatever else, and you got to assume that it's in there. Believe me, if we look at under the microscope, we're going to see all kinds of umicetes and all the things that we don't want to see, because it's awful stuff. So the first thing I want to do, and also, who's to say that they didn't make some of this compost with sewage water? So I can tie all that up, eat it all up using soil saviors first. That's exactly what I did in this latest pile. Started off, hit it with the soil saviors. I'm going to do that maybe four more times, and then I'm going to start inoculating with my stuff. So conceivably with one good cubic yard of compost, I mean, and then let's say, okay, son, so now let's just say you inoculated 10 and now you get it above 135 micrograms per gram of both bacteria and fungi. I mean, good night. The sky's the limit.
Oh, yeah. You can use that soil to inoculate other soils if you want to. And one really cool, this is why I really don't know the limit of how much one cubic yard can inoculate, is because after you take that, the couple of handfuls it takes to make like an extract, you throw it back into your old compost pile to get re-inoculated. It's more of like a timeline constraint as it is like a volume constraint. The timeline constraint is like, what, 3 to 6 months or something like that of like peak viability. Whereas like the, I that's the known constraint. The unknown constraint is like how much that one cubic yard could inoculate if you did it like over and over and over again, that entire 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, I like you said, I don't even know where the top limit is. But folks, these are the little strategies that you're learning on this podcast that you've learned on our YouTube channels and things like that. There are times when you can use a cheat code because I need more compost. And frankly, I just don't have the bandwidth right now to be able to make it. So I can take the really, really awesome stuff I have and I can expand it in massive ways. But one of the cheat codes is like Dr. Lane Ingham once described, that once you put down one, let's say you put down one extract infusion or whatever into your compost. Imagine it like the settlers that came over to America. What happened to the first batch? Well, they didn't do so great, but there was enough of them that kind of got a foothold. Then you put in another one and another one and another one until finally they get to the point where the good guys are out competing the bad guys, as long as they got something to eat. And you can really make all the difference. But I'm realizing that when I start with soil saviors first, I'm not wasting my good guys when I don't have to. I'm tying up all the toxins and a lot of the stuff, the facultative organisms that are in soil saviors, they come alive when there is toxins in the soil. And then they go back dormant again until there's a reason for them to come back. And that's one of the reasons why I think, despite all the garbage they sprayed from the sky during that experiment that we did alongside the river, this is exactly why I think it's maintained. Its level of robust activity has, I think, entirely to do with the fact that they are facultative and then they're going to come around. So they're chilling in the soil. They don't have any reason to do anything until there's a reason for them to do it. So that's one trick I wanted to give you guys out here. Speaking of spraying, son, I'm curious what it's like where you are, because today I put out a Twitter post where I showed in 15 minutes went from blue to absolutely nasty gray, burn tire smell, the whole nine yards. What's it like in your area? Because they're back, at least we had a little bit of a respite, not much, because they were still spraying at night, even though everybody thought it was a blue sky. It wasn't. You've forgotten what blue is supposed to look like, folks. It was crystal clear blue for 30 solid days after that manufactured hurricane here in Western North Carolina. So that's what it's supposed to look like, but everybody's forgotten what that looks like. And here they are, back to business as usual. What's it like in your area?
Same as usual. Like, we didn't get a respite during that when the government was, I almost said out of town, whenever the government shut down. Texas has its own weather modification association. That involves like Texas, I want to say it, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, I think Arkansas as well. So it never, it's an independent association outside of what hits the rest of the United States. So it never really shut down. I mean, you saw when you were out in Dallas, like it was constant and it's been constant. I can't think of a day where that hasn't been affected by some sort of chemtrail at all here. Like either, like there has not been a clear blue sky here at all. It's always hazy, always hazy. So, we're getting, it's dumping right now. We had like flood alerts. I don't think anything crazy is happening as far as like the floods or anything like that. But we did get like an inch today of just nonstop rain. It came in like waves, really. It would be a little bit light rain and then heavy, heavy rain, which isn't totally unusual for this time. But looking at the overall weather pattern of the United States, we have like super storms about to collide over in the Northeast and the Ohio Valley and stuff like that. It might not be bad here in this part of Texas, but I think some people are going to be trapped over Thanksgiving weekend and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's definitely back to business as normal. And it's, the thing that blows my mind, people want to know who killed Kennedy. And I talked about that in my video a little bit, the last one I did. They want to know who murdered Kennedy. They want to know what really happened on 9/11. They want to know all these different things, but I can't even get those same people to look up. I mean, yeah, this is crazy.
Who's killing you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. And speaking of which, I brought up that thing. I realized this is what happens when you speak extemporaneously in a front porch talk. I realized that I brought up Oswald, and I said, son, you probably didn't see it, but I talked about how Lee Harvey Oswald, almost to the day, Bongino and Patel, or otherwise known as Harold and Kumar over at the FBI, said this, the guy that supposedly tried to murder Trump, he acted alone, nothing to see here, almost to the day of when they accused Lee Harvey Oswald. And so it occurred to me, I was like, huh, let me go check. What if I told you right now, after all, Trump supposedly dropped all the documents out there, right? But here we are, 62 years later, because November 22nd, 1963 is when they smoked Kennedy. Well, that was Saturday, okay? 62 years to the day. What if I told you that of all these, remember, they said Trump released all the JFK documents. What if I told you that Lee Harvey Oswald's tax records are still classified to this day? Anybody want to know why? I'll tell you why. And I didn't do it in the video. It's because he was working for the CIA the last 6 months of his time in the Marine Corps. Okay, folks, when he defected and went over to Russia and strangely enough was able to come back with a wife, which was nearly impossible at that time, he was working on behalf of the CIA. That's why you don't see his tax records, okay? Whole lot of intrepid researchers. I just wanted, it's got nothing to do with this program right now, but it was driving me nuts, man, because I put that video out and I'm like, I didn't even tell him why. I told him, yeah, it's still, I didn't give you the punchline. So there it is for the folks that watch that. He was working for both the CIA and for a time, even the FBI, okay? Or the FBI, as I like to call them. So anyway, I'll walk away from that topic completely. So other things we got going on around here, lots of fermentation going on. And no, we're not making beer. I'm talking like food. Yeah. Right now, son, your mom went out there and dug up some horseradish and went over the top. You know how she like loves horseradish like nobody yep. you've ever seen before?
Painful.
Oh, man. She's got everything. I mean, like you talk about a potpourri up in these jars, man. She's got, oh, my goodness, cabbage, beets, radishes. Anything growing right now is in that jar. Including, she said, you know, I wonder if I ought to put some horseradish in here. So she goes out to the garden, digs up. I mean, like, I don't even know. I said, nah, you ain't putting all that horseradish in there, are you? Man, you can smell. She's out there, like, coughing and carrying on because she got so much horseradish. That, and I don't even want to start thinking about how much she put in that jar. But this stuff is going to be smoky. But yeah, there's a whole lot of fermentation going on. We've been doing it for days and days now. And yeah, that's what I'm going to eat through the winter, y'all. So this, I'm straight up circadian diet all the way. If it's growing, I'm going to eat it. If it ain't growing, I'm not going to eat it right after Thanksgiving. You know, I'm going to, trust me, I'm coming out of retirement on Thanksgiving. But after that, it's going to be full circadian diet. I will grow what eats and what is local. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'll let everybody know how it works out because I'm practicing what I preach as best I can. And that's another thing, man. I was out there doing push-ups. Oh, man, I am going to hurt tomorrow. So, yeah, and I'm honestly on that point as far as circadian health, man. I'm struggling to maintain my D levels, so I'm using mechanical means or alternative means to be able to do that. You can use a reptile light, folks. That's exactly what they use in the zoos and stuff like that. So, you know, that's one way to do it. They're blocking out the sun so much that I it's nearly impossible for me to get anywhere close to what I need. So I'm backing up some of it. Normally I'd stand outside naked in the sun and do my Bible memorization and stuff like that. But that's just not possible right now. It's not, I could deal with the cold. Plus cold thermogenesis is good for you. That's not the reason I'm doing it, because they're blocking out the sun so much that I'm getting almost no D at all. Maybe that's the point. When you look at all the other things, I mean, you know, before I came in here, man, you know, find out James Comey, and I predicted it right here on this show. I predicted they would basically drop all charges against James Comey. And that's exactly what happened. New boss, same as the old boss, folks. I told you this was going to happen. And there's a lot of you out there that predicted the very same thing, I'm sure. And here it is. James Comey's walking, guilty as a cat in a goldfish bowl. And this dude is walking. And then I get this other story. Man, you talk about all the more reasons why every single time where, like last night, I was a little bit tired, man, because I was up doing a lot of fermentation later than I would have been, standing on my feet, doing all this work. And then I come across that Campbell's Soup story today. Did you hear about that one?
No, I haven't heard that. What happened?
Oh, man, I think I just posted it on my X account. All I wrote was, this is exactly why I grow all my food.
Let me guess. Human body parts popping up in Campbell's Soup?
They're not openly admitting to Soylent Green just yet. But the guy's in there saying, I mean, this is like one of the vice presidents on there, and he's like ranting. You know, guys, a lot of it had to be bleeped out because, you know, he had a little bit of a potty mouth. But anyway, he's in there saying, yeah, man, I don't want to eat chicken that came out of the 3D printer and all this other stuff. I'm like, what? I mean, bro, and this is exactly the food they're expecting us to buy. Boy, you know their stock. Boy, I wish I'd have seen this thing earlier. I'd have shorted some Campbell's stock now. because, bro, I'm thinking, man, I could have made a killing on this one. But, yeah. Now, I'm actually calling that good news. Actually, that was in my good news section. I'm calling that. I'm just going to get dropped. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and drop that one right now. I'm calling that my good news section because, honestly, people are going to now realize that a lot of this stuff is not food, not even close to food. It is absolute, complete garbage. They know it is, and they really don't care if you and I eat it. That's exactly, look, man, really, soup ain't that hard to make, y'all. I make my own broth. Okay, from there, I can do a whole lot. The puree ain't that difficult. Go ahead, son.
Well, you can make soup out of byproducts of just processing real animals. Like all like the bones. People typically don't eat the bones. Make the broth out of that. And then like the stuff that would have typically gone to the grind pile, you can just use those as like the chunks of meat within the soup. Like soup typically cooks for a long time. It's gonna break down and things like that. You don't need like chicken breast to make chicken noodle soup, or you don't need chicken thighs. You can use like off cuts or like your grind pile cuts, or especially when it comes to beef or like lamb or anything like that, you can make soup with the byproducts.
Yeah, man. There was this one of those Michelin star chefs I learned to butcher from. He used to make this lamb neck stew. I was like, man, you know, being something of a meat eater, I wasn't even trying to eat it. I was like, man, lamb neck stew. No, man, I'd rather have those lamb chop stew. I mean, let's do some of that. It was really good. Needed salt, but it was really, really good. It had a great flavor. And like you said, everything that was in there was made out of scraps. Yeah. So it was actually quite good. But yeah, there's another part of that neck that I really love. It's called the capicola or the gabagool, folks. That's exactly why I love processing. You know, I don't like taking life. I never do, never have. But, you know, at least unlike a lot of the other folks out there, I know a lot of us in the sound of my voice right now, you at least have the moral consistency to take these animals out with some kind of dignity and respect, not stick them in the doggone mechanically separated line in the chicken factory. A lot of us, most of us, do it ourselves. So hat tip to everybody out there in the sound of my voice, because it's no fun. I mean, nobody likes doing that. In fact, every time I process chickens, I usually can't eat chicken for a month. That used to be the case, but not so much anymore. But yeah, you're responsible about how we go about doing it. All right, son, what's happening on your end?
Just got back from the road. I started off in northern Mississippi. I did the consultations for the people who won out at that KSL event. Every time there's a KSL event, they do a fundraiser for Caleb House, and I donate the consultations to that. And I just got done with the last two people who won, northern Mississippi and southern Mississippi. And let me tell you, there is a massive difference between the two. Southern Mississippi is unique. in northern Mississippi, you know, it's like the rest of the South. I mean, it's not much different. Like if you teleported to like South Carolina, parts of South Carolina or parts of Georgia and stuff like that, it wouldn't look too different. Especially like the people and stuff like that. It's really cool. Northern Mississippi is really cool. And then I went over to Bill Zegley's house. Dad, that is one consultation you would not be frustrated with, because Bill Zegley is doing everything absolutely, like, I don't know any way he could do anything better of what he has done as far as like planting his trees, his guilds, his spacing, the gardens, moving the chicken tractors with the compost and stuff like that. Anything that's like a problem on the property was there before he started working on the property. It's just things that he acquired with the property. Bill Zegley's in the chat. So, yeah, if you guys could give him a shout out, that'd be awesome. Yeah, Bill Zegley, he is an awesome, awesome student when it comes to like learning natural systems and then applying them and then even improves on them and stuff. So he's making his own, like what he calls super compost and stuff like that. It's definitely interesting. And then I got back, what was it? Just a couple days ago at like 10 o'clock at night. And then I'm over here looking like a vato because my buddy gave me the stack of flannels.
Son, I was going to say, you look like you got that off a dead Chinese.
No, I got this off a Mexican biker. That's who I got this off
of. Hey, holes.
Hey, but these are the most comfortable flannels. And like they're not goofy cut either. Like either with when it comes to flannels or like long sleeve shirts, either the width of it is like way too wide, and then the arms are all stubby and everything. This one actually fits correctly. So it's, if anybody's interested in like flannels and you've never been able to find flannels that fit properly, check out Vargos, which doesn't help with the whole Vato thing stuff like that. But he got them off of a Mexican biker gang in California. So. Yeah, these are the most comfortable flannels I've ever had in my life. The best fitting flannels I've ever had in my life. So, and then okay. Since I got back, it's just been constantly raining.
Yeah, so what you got to do with that flannel is you put a wife beater on underneath and then just do the top button.
Hold on, then, yeah.
Yeah, do the top button, let them all hang out, or just let your chest hair hang out. Yeah, that's the way to roll. Oh, yeah, you definitely. Yeah, that top button ain't working for you, son. Yeah, you look like some college professor, man, like some nerd. Anyway, Sovereign Health Summit, y'all, we got that coming up. Folks, there is a reason, and part of what we're talking about tonight is going to be part of the reason. Don't worry, it'll all come together. It's going to be the Sovereign Health Summit. Get your tickets now, October 27th through the 31st. Barbara O'Neill herself is going to be in the house. She's going to be talking two, maybe three times a day. And we are going to need some volunteers at some point. So. We're still working that part of it out. So some of the people that know me, I know money's tight, y'all. This is exactly why we got the price as low as it can possibly be. And we also have online options. So if you want to watch it from home, So the discount code is William's discount code, which is TPC. I don't know if it's lowercase or uppercase. He says it's all uppercase, but I guess if you go with the upper, it's going to be okay. Look, we're only giving 5% discount, folks, because, and there ain't going to be no Black Friday stuff because it's already as low as it can be, folks. We're not aggrandizing ourselves by charging $1,000. This is bargain basement, prices, but you are getting top quality experts that are going to be on that stage or stages. We're still working that part out too. But yeah, Barbara O'Neill is going to be there. And folks, if you haven't listened to that interview that she did with Gary Brecka, folks, you got to check it out. Called The Ultimate Human Podcast. Listen to her on there and just take one or two things that she says and just start from there. It will move the needle in your life in a positive way. I did one with the, and I started doing it a while back. It was one of the things I said, you know what? I'm going to walk away from this podcast. I'm going to do one more thing that she recommends that I haven't been doing. A lot of it that I do right now, she inspired a lot of it, especially with the salt intake and stuff like that, but was the oil pulling in the morning. Now I got to be, because this is going to drift into medical advice, according to the powers it shouldn't be, I got to be real careful. So just basically taking some, maybe you got some coconut oil laying around the house, and I'm just going to go about that far with it. And what you ought to do with it, go listen to the interview and find out. I'm sure you can find it easy enough online, but it's all these awesome little tricks and big tricks that you're going to get from Barbara that are going to move the needle in so many different ways. And like I said, we set this up with instructors that are filling in the gaps of maybe things that Barbara isn't an expert on. So we're going to be covering a whole lot right there. And like I said, it will be live streamed out there. So we got live stream tickets as well. Love to see everybody in the house. And there's going to be a lot of really, really awesome speakers there that a lot of you have never heard of before. And some of you have, and hopefully we have multiple stages. We're still working on some logistical things, but anyway, SovereignHealthSummit.com, October 27th through the 31st, TPC will get you 5% off. All right, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Folks, like I said, I'm practicing what I preach. My bare feet right now are on this grounding mat from Redemption Shield. If you want one, it's getting that time of year where it's going to get cold. Right now, it's been t-shirt weather, at least for me around here, even naked weather for that matter. But anyway, it's going to get to that time. Look, whether you're sitting in front of your computer, you're at the office, you're at home watching TV, stay as grounded as you possibly can, folks. And don't put it into the wall. Get an independent ground and use its own grounding rod. I can't stress that enough. There's too much dirty electricity out there with all the testing I've personally done. Remember, I'm a 30-year journeyman electrician. I would not recommend anybody, especially if you live in an apartment, to plug that into the wall. Get an independent ground. They make long cords so you could put them out the window, shut the window on it, and then poke it right into the ground. And even there, you got to be careful. So make sure you're getting it in the right place. So Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And finally, Wave Watch Billy 100 will get you $100 off of that. They may even have a bigger special that's kicking right now. You'll have to go there and check it out. But I don't know of anybody that's had one that was not very pleased with it. So you guys still using yours, son?
Oh, yeah. We got them on the beds. We got the mat. They're awesome. Yeah. I mean, June, like our daughter, she doesn't have a hard time getting grounded just because she's constantly, I mean, you guys have seen the videos. She's constantly in the mud, in the ground, in the dirt, rolling around in it, putting it in her socks, putting it in her shoes, all that type of stuff. But yeah.
You must have spaced out. I was talking about the Wave Watch.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about the grounding. My bad. Yeah, I got the Wave Watch on right now. It's on Solfeggio Energy.
There you go.
My bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to, son, this is your show too, man. You got to get in the game.
I was still thinking, well, okay, here's what I was thinking about. And you might have a solution for this. This is why I was distracted and thinking about it. I was thinking about the person who's like working in a skyscraper and stuff. How would they go about, not like a super tall skyscraper, but let's say they're on the third story or something like that. Like, how do they go about getting grounded? Like, I imagine dropping a wire from that height is going to be pretty difficult. Is it still not worth doing if their only option is to plug it into an outlet?
9 times out of 10, you're not going to have access to those windows to even open them in most buildings these days, because they're going to worry about somebody jumping out of it or, you know, throwing something out of it or whatever the case may be. So a lot of these places, I would have told you in the past to put it to building steel or copper pipes. I don't know that I would even trust that. That's when I go back to plan A, which is EMF rocks, and then get yourself out of that building or go find yourself a new job. Get yourself out of that building as often as you can. I was just listening to Dr. Alexis Cowan talking about that very thing, that they did studies on people that, you know, they're locked in buildings all day long doing their jobs, whether school teacher, whatever the case may be, that just by eating your lunch outside in the weather made the biggest difference in terms of how your body responded. So, you know, do what you can to get out of that building. But honestly, if I had to be in a place like that and I couldn't ground, or there's not a ground I would trust, I would definitely be thinking about getting a whole stack of EMF rocks and putting them around my desk, on my desk, and in my pocket. That's how I roll, even in a place where we're not being bombarded like that. All right, so let's go into the good news section. The first one was Campbell's Soup. Yeah, I'm calling that good news. You know why? Because now more people might just be inspired to grow their own food when they realize, okay, most of these companies, it is just complete garbage. It is bad enough that they got the shrinkflation going on, despite what your president's telling you right now that there's no inflation. Well, you're paying more for less in the bag. Yeah, that's inflation. I guess people are calling that shrinkflation. Anyway, that was our first good news story. Here's another one. A simple melody for a complex mind. Daily music listening linked to dramatic drop in dementia risks. Now, they found out And it mattered. They didn't. I wish they would have conducted this in the study, because I would wonder what the results would be if they were using healing frequencies, like if it were in 528 or, you know, what, like William said a moment ago, one of the Selfeggio tones. They didn't measure that, and they didn't even tell you what type of music they were listening to. You know, are they listening to Metallica, or is it, you know, Fleetwood Mac? Is it classical music? I mean, what are they listening to? They didn't link any of that in there, but it did seem to say that, you know, just by listening to music makes all the difference in the world. In fact, even humming tunes. There was this old guy named Kyle Haley, one of my favorite people I've ever met when I first got in the electrical trade. Old guy. I mean, funniest dude you ever met in your life. And he had the most melodic whistle in the world. I remember my first day working with this guy. He said he had this real gravelly voice. He would say, "Son, you working with me, you better be doing one of two things at all times." I said, "What's that, Kyle?" He says, "Either whistling or sweating. If you're sweating, I know you're working. If you're whistling, I think you're working." he had a bunch of different things on how he said it. But anyway, he had this very melodic, it was almost hypnotic and intoxicating to a certain extent. Whenever this guy would whistle, I'm sure other people have known people like this, where you hear a person whistling, it's like, I can take it or leave it. I swear he whistled in Selfeggio tones, because everybody around him, when he would whistle, I don't even know how to describe it. It would just basically calm you in a way that I just don't even know how to describe.
Like there was something Gandalf about, calling Shadowfax.
Yeah, something like that, man. It's like, it was very, very, I don't even know how to say it, man. It was intoxicating. And it's funny because I just thought of that when I was reading this story earlier. But anyway, I wish they did a little bit more study on that. But others have, where they've realized that there are channels out there, whether on YouTube or otherwise, where they have Selfeggio tones. And just a little side note, when I had Dr. Laura Sanger on this show talking about how, you know, and maybe there is a correlation, that the music standard right before Hitler came in, or right after, I think it was 1938 when she said it happened, where they changed the standards. Instead of 444 hertz, they made it 440, and every musician thought it was a dissonant tone. And then it wasn't long after World War II kicked off. So there are stations where you can listen to music in 444, and your body's made for that. 440 is dissonant. It is not good for your body. And that's where everything you hear on the radio right now, and I mean everything, that is the frequency it's coming in. And that is not a Selfeggio tone. So you definitely want to, I didn't expect to go on about that, but.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, because every time I'm on the computer and I have to be on it for a while, I always play like music, and I usually go to like Spotify and use one of those classical music playlists. But there's some classical music that ain't working. It definitely does not help. But I've noticed that there's a big difference in like how just either the computer work can be very, very annoying, or it can be a pleasure to get through, but it makes it a lot easier to get through, like the computer work and everything. I just go to one of the playlists I use is called Classical Bangers. It'll be Mozart with a pair of shades on it, if anybody's curious.
Well, son, find one where it does it in Selfeggio tones. They exist out there. Try that instead and see if it doesn't move the needle in a big way. There's a guy that Dr. Sanger, when I had her on the program, she talked about this guy that did this harp music, and I went and got it. And what I did, folks, is, and I never did finish doing this, other people have asked me to kind of do it myself, is that what I did was I superimposed that music over the Psalms, over the Bible, read by Max McLean. And I took the whole book of Psalms, and I had an engineer, audio engineer, overlay the book of Psalms with Whole Tones. Whole Tones is the name of a company out there where they, all the music they did, the guy, Michael Terrell, who owned it, I think he's cashed in. I think he's passed on at this point, but I overlaid the two, and I had a music engineer fuse them together for me. And folks, it's one of the best ideas I ever came up with in my life. And I was thinking about doing it, but reading it myself and overlaying those tones in the background. So folks, if you want some of the most soothing thing out there, I would say I'd email it to you, but man, I got to go dig it up now.
We still got it. We still have it. Yeah, if you want them, I think just reach out to me because you sent it to us and we were using it for the baby as she was sleeping. And I mean, there was definitely a difference, especially during nap time.
Yeah. Those healing frequencies. In fact, it's often believed that frequency 528 is what King David used to put Saul to, you know, to straighten him out when he was losing his mind. So I guess nobody really knows that for sure, but we do know that the healing frequencies are the self-egeotones. So, yeah, and you can even get wind chimes like that. You can do so many, man, there's so many awesome applications. But, yeah, one of my little inventions out there was to fuse the two, Max McLean along with the whole tones, and it works beautifully. So, man, you talk about – that's even like applying some of Dr. Bruce Lipton's work where you – where he talks about is a little bit of self-hypnosis, but he also talked about the times, and other people have talked about this as well, where you can do some of the best programming on your own mind in a positive way is by, you know, making your own mixtape of you telling yourself very positive things like, hey, maybe you have an awful view of yourself. Well, you go over here and he basically says, make a mixtape and you play this while you're going to sleep. And then when you hit that place right before you're almost unconscious, it's exactly what Nikola Tesla did and what Edison did. Edison would sit in a chair with a ball, and I think it was a glass ball or something like that. And he would lay back in his chair when he did take time to rest. And he swore that his best ideas came that right at that point. So he would wake up right when that glass fell out of his hand and hit the floor. He knew he was asleep, but it was at that time that where he would have some of his best ideas. Well, Dr. Lipton came up with the same kind of thing, saying, hey, it's also a really great time to program. So I've experimented with that a little bit, and I was like, okay, cool. Let's take these self-egeotones. Man, maybe I'll sleep better, and I'll be doggone if it doesn't work. So I've even made my own little mixtape of all the things. All of us have things that, you know, you struggle with, and it's a good way, but you better trust to who's packing your parachute on stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, it's a fine line. Remember, you're beautifully and wonderfully created from the dust of the earth. So like keep that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, you have some, there's apps out there where they do the same thing, but I don't trust them. How do you know they're not subliminally? A guy could be a maniac. I mean, the guy could be telling you to be the next son of Sam for all I know. I mean, maybe that's not the case, but I ain't taking the risk, man. I'll sit here and I'll listen to the Psalms with self-egeotones as I'm going, if you need that sort of thing. So it's probably best to not have anything in your ears anyway, as you're going to sleep. In fact, Dr. Cruz would tell you that is exactly what you don't want to do. All right. So the last one, how late nights sabotage your gut and health. Spend too much time on the other stuff, but folks, in a nutshell, and this is another thing you're going to take away from that Gary Brecka interview with Barbara O'Neill. And she talks about the whole reason why you want to try to get to bed as early as possible. Definitely at least 2 hours before midnight. I'm not going to tell you why. I want you to listen to the interview. You're going to find out why. And next time I interview Barbara, first of all, I'm going to make sure I'm going to have a list of words she can't say on here because she got us a 2-week suspension as well. So anyway, there's a reason why staying up late, being a night owl, is one of the worst things you can do. Number one, for circadian health, it's not wonderful. But the amount of repair that your body does in the first 2 hours when you go to sleep, but it has to happen before midnight. So that's where you're going to get all your all the beneficial stuff that you can get. And also, because you're not doing the rest, your gut health and everything else starts falling apart. Remember, your gut and your brain are linked in a massive way. So you want to make sure you are not, you want to make absolutely sure you're not being a night owl. I know it's tough, folks. And I used to be one myself, but I retrained myself. And I mean, it took some retraining. Trust me, when the lights go out, I'm going out along with it. So, yeah. Anyway, wanted to make everybody, I hope this stuff is beneficial to you. Anyway, we're going to go over to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, water tanks. It's the rainy season here in Sacramento, so it's a mixed bag of positivity of seeing all the rain comes and frustration and annoyance of seeing how much runoff is going into the rivers and ultimately into the ocean when it should be stored and captured for later use. Water tanks can be a large investment up front, but the payoff in resiliency and sovereign control of your water is invaluable. And there are possibilities of financing water tanks to make that initial investment much more palatable and the cost of entry much more feasible. But tanks can be constructed of concrete, zinc, aluminum, or plastic. They are the preferred method for storing drinking water because they are cleaner than either main water or groundwater. This is because we can control our tank's water. A general rule of thumb is that if you can breathe the air, you can drink the water from it. Roofs made of concrete, tile, and metal are generally safe for harvesting drinking water, while wood and thatch roofs tend to have too many tannins, and asphalt shingle roofs too many impurities. To help with ensuring cleanliness, we can buy diverters that get rid of the first few liters of water before storing it. Although the latest research is showing that that's not even necessary, as the biofilm is created inside the tank. We can plan carefully to provide ourselves with water even when it isn't raining. On average, each person uses 250 liters of water a day, with maximums reaching about 450 liters and minimums dropping to about 90. Knowing that 1 square meter of roof plus 1 millimeter of rain yields 1 liter of water, we can design to catch enough water to get us through our driest period. Isn't the metric system simplicity so nice? A typical tank setup begins with a mesh screen over the opening to prevent any large debris, insects, or animals from getting into the tank. And within the tank, a naturally occurring algae, the same found in clean mountain streams, removes any minor pollutants. After many years, it's possible that the bottom of the tank will need to be cleaned of tiny soil deposits that collect there. In the case of regions with acid rain, which is problematic because a pH balance of 4.5 or less makes heavy metals water soluble, it's possible to alkaline the water by hanging a bag of limestone or marble chips in the tank. Catching our own water means much less burden on groundwater sources, much less energy spent having to transport it, and more air pollution regulation because cleaner air equates to clean drinking water. There are many benefits when we are responsible for our own water. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of the PimpCast, or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for more information on my permaculture community group, head over to permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog. Yeah, water, man. It's all about it. Remember, folks, when that stuff, when water comes there, William, I don't know what you're holding up there.
That's literally the section in the permaculture design manual that my book was opened up to, because that's what we just did. That was a class we just did on the permaculture design course. It was talking about capturing your own water, fixing polluted, purification of polluted waters and everything like that. I forgot about it, but that trick with the gypsum and the limestone, I forgot about that. And that's awesome. It's cool.
So many awesome tricks out there, y'all. And it doesn't involve a municipality putting a bunch of chemicals in there, some of which that I can't even name right here. Otherwise, they cut the feed. Yeah, this is a little bit annoying, but we're going to work around it anyway. All right, before we get into it, Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. That was another interview that I did last Thursday with the owner of Micronic Silver. And folks, you have got to listen to that because there are so many wonderful things. Plus the shelf life on this stuff and how long it lasts in the body is totally different than the other stuff that's out there. You want to check it out. Folks, I'm not telling you about things I don't currently use. And if you listen to that interview, I'll talk about some of the ways in which I have used it. But once again, it's one of those tricky areas, and I can't talk about it at length here. Anyway, PERMA will get you 10% off. All right, so we're going to jump.
Do you have the website? Denise is asking if you have the website, Dad.
No, I'm sorry. I do not. Micronicsilver.com. There's probably only one out there, so... yeah, sorry about that, Denise. Yeah, I kind of hit you sideways with a couple of them here. All right, I'll make up for it on Thanksgiving. Don't worry. I'm bringing those beans and some brisket. So, yeah, don't strangle me. Anyway, yeah, I'm sure Denise is, All will be well once we have some pie. Isn't that amazing? We could solve all the world's problems in a pie.
You sound like Paul Wheaton.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeff Lawton said it was in a garden, but I suspect in a pie. Anyway, let's get to it. What is fifth generation warfare, folks? So not only are we going to talk about what it is, we're going to talk about how you can inoculate yourself against it. Let me just back up a little bit. I didn't even know what this was until I heard General Flynn talk about it. I don't know, maybe six, seven years ago. It's like, what is this? I mean, I'm a soldier. I never heard of no fifth generation warfare. And I remember the first time I heard it, I just kind of dismissed it. I thought, okay, I remember when they first started saying kinetic warfare, and everybody in the media laughed at the people that said this. Well, all warfare is kinetic. I mean, that makes no sense. And now everybody says it. They were made fun of when they first came out with it. And then this five generation warfare, I was like, man, this is okay. What is it? And I'm thinking, okay, cyber warfare. No, folks, it's way more than that. And for full disclosure, William, your mom was the one that inspired this this episode when I said, you know, I was kind of batting around some of the ideas I wanted to talk about. And she said, I think you ought to talk about 5G warfare. And she wanted to equate it to what is happening now, folks. You're going to have to look in between the lines here, because if I say it, if I say it, they will cut this feed. She wanted to talk about the correlation between 5G warfare and how it tied into, if somebody wants to put it in the chat, I can't even put it on the screen. Maybe, son, you might be able to use that chalkboard behind you.
Okay, I got you. I'll draw a picture. This will be, what is it? Pick the, what's that game?
You can
not charades.
I'll let you figure it out. Maybe it rhymes with whatever. But anyway, folks, she wanted to equate it with the things that are happening in the sky right now and how it plays into 5G warfare. So warfare, it's 5G warfare is warfare not declared, okay? There's no tanks rolling in. There's no shots fired, at least not before it's kinetic, of course. It's shaping how you think, how you vote, how you behave, what you fear, and what you believe to be accurate or true. Son, I can't read that. I don't know what
picture.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if this podcast thing doesn't work out, you could always do ransom notes. Is that a cloud?
It may or may not be. It might identify as something else.
Well, anyway, your mom wanted to equate 5G warfare in its traditional sense and add in that cloud and how they could be manufactured out there into, but we can't talk about that. That's one of the things that will get us busted off of here.
Or what about the elements of barium, strontium, you know, sulfur trioxides, things like that.
There you go.
Aluminum salts.
That's a way around it. So it's the art of controlling a population. That's basically what 5G warfare is. But here's the insidious, the pernicious part of it. It's the art of controlling a population without them even knowing that they're in the battle. That is the definition of 5G warfare, folks. And nobody's talking about it. Only one has ever talked about it at length. And I got something of a love-hate relationship with the guy as General Flynn. In full disclosure, I don't trust him. Have never trusted him. When I was around him, kind of had a creepy feeling, I'll be honest with you. Can I substantiate anything that I've been told about him? No. But I don't trust him. That doesn't make, look, if a notorious liar tells you the truth, it's still the truth. And I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying I don't know how much I trust him. But he is absolutely correct when it comes to 5G warfare. So how is it broken down? It's, first of all, information warfare. That's one of the chief ways they go about it. So it's going to be through the obvious propaganda and the not so obvious propaganda. You have these influencers out there, and like Dr. Shiva had talked about when I had him on the show, was you have the establishment people and the not so obvious establishment people out there. You know, the people like Alex Jones, who can, any wind can take him, where he's 180 degrees different now than he was just a couple of years ago. Yeah. So propaganda, you got the fake experts out there. You got controlled narratives, and don't forget about the AI driven content out there. This is all information manipulation. In other words, they create confusion. And at the end of the day, confused people are easy to steer. That's really the crux in the beginning of it. So It's a psychological operations, or we can call it PSYOPs. When Michelle was in the Army, she belonged to a PSYOPs battalion. You know, I'm sure she uses some of it from time to time on me. So, I mean, here's how they attack. Your emotions, your fears. Yeah, she is using it on me. No, I'm kidding. Stress
She's
level.
She's using pecan sandies, Dad.
Oh, yeah, boy. She knows exactly. Yeah, she'll just use Scooby snacks to get me to go where I need to go. Your sense of safety. And the goal is to keep you so overwhelmed, you beg the same people who caused the crisis to save you. That's why I said it's pernicious. Sorry, y'all got something in my eye here. Don't know how that happens when you wear blue light blocking glasses. They do it through social engineering. Obviously, and I did a little experiment on my own, just doing an experiment regarding some of this stuff. But through the social engineering, they create division. They fragment your identity. Economic stress. I mean, basically break people apart and then you start to manage them. Then there's also the biological space. Now, I have got to be really careful about how I address this one. And it doesn't necessarily mean bioweapons, because the real battlefield in this area is a matter of trust, whether it's medical mandates, public health messaging, or just downright engineered fear, which they do every single day. And I know all of us are aware of that. And then you got some of the pharma-driven narratives out there, and we're just a couple of years removed from the latest one, or the biggest one, rather. So in another ways, to break that one down, you control health, you control behavior. And then you have the technocratic control systems. Man, these are the ones that really, really bother me as of late, because you got flock cameras everywhere you go, whether it's up and down the interstate. This is all happening under Trump, by the way, y'all. Anybody notice that? Anybody know that during the height of COVID, all the 5G antennas that went up in weird places, think it might have something to do with all this stuff? As far as the technocratic control systems, clearly you got these surveillance cameras everywhere, listening devices everywhere, digital IDs. I mean, they're talking about this stuff like it's cotton candy. I mean, they broke out the real ID and almost nobody even noticed. Nobody's talking about it. Central bank digital currencies. You hear that in the lips of everybody right now. And here we are on the Titanic called the United States of Amnesia. It's about to, we're about to go under. And everybody knows that what they're going to try to replace it with is going to be CBDCs. It's weird, folks. This system, look, bottom line is they don't have to arrest you. They just need to limit your access, and they're doing it right now as I'm talking to you on this YouTube live. Think about how I'm having to censor myself, folks. I'm practically stumbling over my words because my brain is trying to explain this and at the same time not get ourselves banned permanently on here, because I want this information out to you. That's exactly why we got it on the regular channel right now. I want to get you this information. But I'm also thinking, I sat here racking my brain, like, how do I possibly do this without, and hopefully I'm doing it. I mean, hopefully it's making sense. So holler if you hear me. And here's a big one, y'all, narrative control. And that comes down to what's true, or what they allow you to believe is true, or what's allowed. Are we experiencing it right now? Really, it gets down to brass tacks on what you're allowed to think and what they label as misinformation. How many people got dumped off of YouTube and some of these other platforms because they asked critical questions about a health narrative that was in the public space in the zeitgeist just a couple of years ago? Ring a bell?
That was a multifaceted one, because they also used fear.
Exactly. And no, son, you just hit the nail right on the head. They use all of these in conjunction with one another. They can absolutely be bundled. And if they control the narrative, they don't need bullets, at least not at first. And then, of course, you got, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but you got the proxy and non-state actors. Look, I worried about the propaganda that China's dropping on this place. I'm more concerned about the ones coming from my own government. That seems to me the biggest threat out there. It ain't It ain't. Look, the bottom line, the goal of five generation warfare is not conquest. It's not land conquest. It's not control of oil. It's not any of those things. It's control of your mind, your decisions, and your perception of what's real. And David Icke talks about this a lot. When it's done perfectly, like General Flynn talked about, when 5G warfare is done perfectly, you don't even know it's happening. That's why I said it's pernicious. That's why I said it's insidious. And the crazy thing about it is some of your best friends and your family members can be combatants. If you doubt me, some of you folks are going to see things a little bit differently when you go to Thanksgiving dinner. You're going to realize how many people sitting at that dinner table are absolutely ate up with all the things that are happening right now. And this 5G warfare isn't being conducted by overseas. You know, it was funny when General Flynn was talking about this initially, it was during the Biden administration. Folks, nothing's happened. New boss, same as the old boss. If anything, all the stuff in place is just being ramped up. You haven't seen anything dismantled.
The only thing different is an added layer of trust, making things easier.
Well, I'm starting to wonder now how these, I wonder if Kamala Harris had been elected, that all these things that everybody's giving their nod to right now would never have happened, or they'd be raising hell about it, guaranteed.
Yeah. And one thing that you mentioned earlier was that they don't even need bullets. They also don't even need to disarm you. Look at how many people were wiped out in just recent events, or completely controlled in recent events. They don't even need to disarm you in order to get what they're wanting. Because everybody's response is like, oh, this stuff won't happen to America because there's like, what, 5 to 10 guns for each person within the United States and all that stuff. All that is useless if you yourself are controlled. Those are just tools. Those are just tools. If you give an electrician a hammer, he can do all kinds of damage. Like, the hammer isn't at fault for him putting a hole in the drywall. It's him.
The thing that burns me up more than anything about those people that say that sort of thing, like, we got all these guns. Look, your 5G warfare makes your guns useless. How good is your gun? All of a sudden, okay, folks, I'm not saying you shouldn't have them. Like William brought up a hammer. Well, I see a weapon, gun exactly the same way. To me, it's nothing more than a tool. Just like I don't get excited about vehicles. They're nothing more than a tool. You want to get me excited? Well, let's look at the sheep on the pasture or something like that. Let's talk about producing food or putting some in the freezer. That'll get me excited. But this is why 5G warfare is so incredibly insidious, is because all of these people that think they have guns, they're rendered useless in a paradigm like this. Think about it. Half the people that brag about their guns that I know in Texas have zero storable food. They have no water, and they don't know how to get either if anything were to go sideways. But you got 1,000 rounds of 5.56. Yeah. Or I love the ones that tell me this one all the time. I'll just go hunting. Okay. Yeah. You never spilled blood in your life, but you're telling me you're going to go out there, you're going to take up hunting when you're already starving. Yeah. Tell me how that works out for you.
How many of you guys traveled to what's called deer camp, which just seems like a gay boys club? How many of y'all go to deer camp in order to tag a deer? Yeah. How are you going to get there? How are you going to process? How many people drop it off at the processor after they do tag a deer? And then how many people this year have not been able to eat the meat from that deer because of chronic wasting disease? You think there aren't attacks on the natural systems and stuff like that? Like, I was just told from a friend of mine in Tennessee that like one of his neighbors tagged a deer, and it supposedly had chronic wasting disease at one point, but then built like an immunity to it of some sort. So
yeah we're going a little far afield here. The point being in all of this is an influencer, a journalist, bureaucrat, a school board member, or even a teacher. And check this out. You know what the worst one is? Your phone. That bugging device that most of us carry in our pockets. I don't carry it on me. And if I do, it's in airplane mode, folks. I treat that thing like a dangerous servant or a fearful master, as George Washington put it. That's why I'm saying all these other things under 5G warfare, if you aren't aware of how to mitigate it, I guarantee you're falling prey. You just don't even know you are. That's how cold-blooded it is. That's why I'm saying I'm not worried about the Chinese. The CIA came up with this stuff. Your own State Department came up with this stuff. That's what I'm saying. Your typical combatant out there, if you're worried about people coming in Red Dawn style, that ain't what you got to worry about. The people you're going to be fighting around the doggone dinner table at Thanksgiving are the ones you got to worry about because they don't know what it is. Some of you can see through the BS, but a lot of them can't. So now that I described, hopefully successfully, what 5G warfare is, how do you build a firewall in your mind? You got to build one. Because if you don't know, well, first of all, just hearing me talk about this, all of you that were unaware of it before now know what it is. You now know what it is. So you always want to question your first impression. When they come out with a story, folks, believe me, I could write the definitive work on this one. Whenever they come out with a story, you got to ask yourself, okay, what was my first impression? Because it was designed to elicit that. And then you want to ask, okay, well, who does it benefit if I actually believe this? Ask yourself, when they come up, story A, story B, story whatever, who benefits if I actually believe this story? And if it's the powers that shouldn't be, then you need to go to the next step. Remember, we talked about the trivium and why that is so incredibly important, asking the who, what, where, when, and why, and how, doing it in that order. That way it's harder to hoodwink you. And then you develop a reflex to either verify and react or verify and not react. You know, one way or the other, you got to figure out what you're going to do. Recognize emotional manipulation immediately from these polecats because, folks, they are dropping it like nothing I've ever seen before. And if you want one of the best examples, go to Twitter. Go to Twitter. I scrubbed off everybody on my Twitter account. And folks, here, conduct this experiment, okay? They got different ways. You can look at the people that you subscribe to. And they, even now, they've been playing games with that. Or you can they'll put out what they think you want to see. Now, go to that area. This is the classic example of 5G warfare. You can go in there and you can see exactly what they want you to believe, what they want you to think, how they want you to behave, who they want you to hate. All of it, you can see exactly how 5G warfare is conducted just by going to your Twitter feed. And if you think that polecat Elon Musk is your friend, folks, I got oceanfront property in Arizona. Yeah, George Strait even wrote a song about it. So you limit your exposure. We're talking about antidotes here. You limit your exposure to this weaponized information. Now, I told you I did an experiment. Like I said, your phone is the battlefield. I was off of Twitter for a number of days, and I just wanted to see how my, and I'm not on it much. I mean, here lately, I mean, I spend maybe 5, at the most, maybe 10 minutes a day, and it's broken up. It's not all at one time. I go in there, find out what it is they want me to believe. And then I may, if there's something I got to post, I'll do that. And then I'm off. I don't spend, or I check on some people that whose information I trust. But your phone and your computer, all these things are the 5G or the fifth generation battlefield. And it's in all these places, the TV, the people on there, the Operation Mockingbird prostitutes that are on there. They are all there to deceive you. So you protect yourself by doing common sense things like cutting your screen time, definitely reducing the amount of news consumption you take, and then obviously evaluating your sources. Okay, that person, for example, I'll give you a prime example. There were some people like Laura Logan. I'll call them out straight. I don't care. I'll tell you their names. Laura Logan or Dr. Naomi Wolf. I had the greatest admiration and respect for both of those ladies. Now, I wouldn't give a drop of urine for either one of them. And the truth of it is, no, I'm dead serious.
For what? For what scenario would they need it?
Because when I see you do a 180 on your political philosophy, when I see you do a 180 on the things that you, and obviously I know that you are now a paid operative for a country that isn't the United States of Amnesia. Now I can, when I see you do a 180 and it is so blatantly obvious, I know that you are bought and paid for. Once I know that, I hope they paid you enough money. People like Brandon Tatum, I will no longer wear your t-shirts. You are scum to me. Once I see you've taken this blood money in my view, yeah, I pray that you reform yourself, and I, you know, you're not beyond redemption, but you're beyond my trust. And you could see that very, very closely. So like I said, your phone is your battlefield, and all these people that you once trusted, you may find out, huh, wow, they were really, really playing a role. Or they gave them so much money that they said, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and do it. So you got, like I said, cut your screen time, news consumption, evaluate your sources. And then here's a big one, and this is where I go back to Twitter. Folks, you have got to be, you got to recognize pattern recognition. This is massive in permaculture, and it served me well in politics. You want to recognize narrative synchronization, I guess is what I'll call it, when everybody is suddenly saying the same exact thing. Twitter is the perfect place for you to make that observation. And those two, I'm just picking like two or three of them right off the bat. There's a number of them out there. When all of them, when you see a synchronicity between them and they didn't used to have it, you know that the game is afoot. So the less you're exposed to these psyops, folks, the less they can work. Yeah, I go into the matrix and I jack in like Neo, and I go in there and I find out who the liars are. And I believe the very opposite of everything these people tell me. And it served me well, and it's serving me well. So that's another one. Sorry to spend so much time on that, but I think it's very important. So you also want to, and this gets back to what we're doing, is strengthening your biological sovereignty. Going right back to the Sovereign Health Summit. This is exactly why I am sounding like a broken record on so much of this stuff. You'll notice a lot of the advertisers we have right now, they're all health related. These are things I use, things that have moved the needle big time in my life. Other things like eating clean, real food. I talked about that Campbell's soup story a little while ago. Folks, I am eating here. And honestly, ever since COVID, no restaurant is really the same anymore. No. If we do go out to eat, believe me, it's going to be a place where I know it's mom and pop owned, where they really care about what they put in the food. And I'm not going to eat it every day, even in those circumstances, because I guarantee they're not as fastidious about their compliance to my health as I'm going to be. So you want to maintain a strong gut microbiome. Remember what I told you we were doing at the beginning of this? Whole lot of sauerkraut going on down in that kitchen right now. Getting sunlight. Everything they told you about sunlight, I believe to be a manufactured lie. Okay? Sleep, minerals. Everything they tell you is a lie, especially from these MDs that think MD stands for medical deity. It doesn't. Reducing EMF and toxin exposure. Remember I said that EMF, you're bombarded, especially when I'm in the studio right now, but I'm mitigating a lot of it just by being grounded. Okay, so I'm not getting the blue light that's coming off these studio lights. I'm mitigating a lot of it with these blue light blockers, but my skin isn't. So the melanopsin in your skin is still detecting that blue light, which is, by the way, folks, little note, I think we're going to move the show back to 5 o'clock or 5:30, not this week, but next week.
Eastern.
Yep. And it's got to be that way, folks. It's going back to my health. I'm not going to be a good town crier if I'm not in good health. So part of it is eliminating blue light in my environment when I don't absolutely have to do it. Otherwise, it'd just be an audio podcast, okay? So getting your body resilient enough to fear-based healthcare narratives no longer work on you. I mean, they told everybody, hey, we got this pestilence out here. Yeah, everybody go ahead and take this thing. And my buddy Seth Holhouse, his dad just died of a turbo cancer. Wonder how that happened. And I know a lot of other people out there that have family members that are dealing with the very same thing. It was all a function of fifth generation warfare, folks. That's why everybody fell in line before. This was all a function of fifth generation warfare. And like William said a minute ago, it's not just one thing. These are synergistic effects, meaning that they work together. None of these are in isolation. They bundle them. And you got to ask yourself, who's responsible for it? Like I said, it ain't Iran. It ain't Russia. It ain't China. It's your government. That's who's doing it. So kind of rounding this thing out, because I know we've gone quite long. I got quite a bit that I've gotten written down here, but you want to build strong local communities. That's one of the best antidotes for this 5G warfare, you know, because when you're tied to the government, it's really difficult to fight against what they're telling you, because it depends on isolation, echo chambers, and to a high extent, maybe dependency on institutions. Well, if you got your own community stuff going on, don't really need that, do you? Just like I talked about a couple of weeks ago with Ben and Denise, you know, teaming up where they grow me a cow, I grow their chickens. We work together, folks. This is exactly what we're talking about. And then obviously you want to create these parallel systems, off-grid backup power. I mean, things we've talked about before, food independence, I mean, local medical networks. I mean, there's a lot of doctors that are jumping off the mainstream thing and they're getting more into the functional space. I don't even want to see those guys if I can help it. I mean, I do applaud them doing that, but I want to get to the point where I don't even need them. And I think a lot of you want to be in that place as well. Also, and this is obviously an area where I'm going to have to develop a little more, and that's become uncensorable. So think about it, folks. I'm telling you about 5G warfare while censoring myself. Yeah. I can't even tell you. I can't even give you the full picture of it because I'm on YouTube right now. If we were in the audio platform or on Rumble, I could say anything I wanted. But I
feel almost anything. Almost anything until you start asking the questions of where this money, like somebody had a question before, like, where's all this funding coming from? Like when you were talking about Brandon Tatum and stuff, it's like, where's this funding come from? You can't talk about where that funding's coming from on Rumble, not get heavily suppressed. You might not get removed, but you will get heavily suppressed. I've noticed that Rumble, if you're not a part of that, like certain click on Rumble, yep, you are getting absolutely no attention over there.
Absolutely not. No, Rumble, they act as if it's a cool alternative. I'll put out a video over there, folks. They will bury that thing in ads like nothing you've ever. Take the worst video you've ever seen with ads on YouTube and multiply by 10. That's what they do on Rumble. Yeah, technically the video is there, but you're going to have to sit through so many doggone ads it'll make your head spin. But I felt that this information was so important to get out. This 5G, that's why I'm going to be a little bit contradictory in that I'm doing it on YouTube because the information is that important, because this is where a majority, this is where a lot of the audience is. And I want you folks to have this information. So I'm censoring myself, but I'm also saying, look, be uncensorable to the extent that you're able. Obviously YouTube, Rumble, email list. I mean, that's pretty good, but they censor my emails sometimes too. Man, I swear, I don't even know what planet I'm on anymore. Local radio, to what extent you're able. I mean, obviously you got Substack out there, but you're not hitting a wide variety of people. Supposedly, you know, they got freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach over on Rumble. I mean, not Rumble, but X or whatever they're calling that thing these days. So you want to try to spread it out as much as you can. And obviously you want to have your in-person contact as well. And folks, the most important thing is strengthen your faith. Because we are in a place that is undreamed of by the founding fathers. I don't think any of them could have imagined where we are right now. In fact,
how many of them do you think would be disappointed? Honestly, well,
I am aware of those theories and I subscribe to a lot of them because there's a documentary out there. I think everybody should watch it. It's called The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. And if you look at Charles Thompson, one of the earliest out there, I'm not going to get too sidetracked on this, but there was a whole lot of history out there that didn't make it into the history books. I'll put it that way. But there's some of it that's out there. And a lot of these guys were not who they claimed to be. If you doubt me, go look at D.C., Washington, D.C., and that giant obelisk sitting in the middle of it right there and what that represents, and along with the dome, folks. To say that this country was founded on Christian principles, in theory, yes, when the Puritans were here. Later on, not so much. And if anybody ever wants to have a debate on that, believe me, I know my stuff. So it's there for you. But get your faith together, because at the end of the day, y'all, what I mean, you have all the preps in the world, but if your soul isn't prepared, what's all that worth? So it doesn't mean anything. So, I mean, obviously, develop economic independence. I mean, so I got way more here, but I'm going way too long, and I know folks got other things they need to do. Use your skills. Observe these patterns, not the freaking headlines. Think about this, folks. I'm going to use a military tactic here as a you know, where I'm overlaying permaculture and army sapper stuff all into one. The map is not the territory. Watch the pattern, not the noise. That's what I want to get to. If the pattern contradicts the narrative, then the narrative was false from the very beginning. That's how you can see through so many of these people, like the Mark Levins out there, the Sean Hannitys, the Rachel Maddows, all these others. I mean, they're all Operation Mockingbird folks. It's been going on since 1952. People like Walter Cronkite were absolutely bought and paid for. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah, it's been going on since 1953, folks. Alan Dulles kicked it off, and it never, ever, ever stopped. Even Reader's Digest fell under it. I mean, it's crazy. So economic independence as best you can. Look, I know everybody's struggling to put bread on the table these days. I know it's tough, but that's what you got to work on. And you want to master some of your emotional regulations, because that's really where the propaganda works the most. It works on you being stressed, fearful, lonely, angry, exhausted, upset with the kids. I mean, or your husband or wife or whatever the case may be. Calm and informed people are impossible to hurt. So you want to make sure you get a good spiritual life, good clean food, water, real sleep. Get some labor in every day. You want to make sure you're getting plenty of sunlight. All those things, folks, it all is an antidote to what I think is one of the most nefarious things going on right now. And frankly, I can't believe I never talked about it before now. This is the most constant. Well, and honestly, the thing that I'm not allowed to talk about is in the chalkboard behind William with that cloud. The unnatural cloud.
Yeah, my bad. I drew a real cloud.
Yeah.
My bad. That's a habit.
Yeah, but I can kind of get people dialed in on that. And the people listening from the audio thing, the stuff they're dropping from the sky, it all works synergistically. It all works hand in hand, folks. Not one thing I said here works in isolation. In fact, it works better when they combine them. And the best part about it from their perspective is you don't even know what's happening. Remember, William Casey said to Ronald Reagan, and I hope I get this quote right, "We'll know our disinformation plan is complete when everything the American public believes is false." That was back in the 80s that he said this, folks. Back in the 80s. Do you think we've arrived? I dare say we have. All right, son, anything else?
Yeah, real quick, David Zimmerman said, "But when you're awake, you feel alone when you see what is happening and you find no joy even in the simple things." I would say at first that's the case. And then you start taking a greater value in the little things. Like an example being that the contamination that happened after Helene, right? You can find joy in knowing that, like, wow. The Father created a system that, like, no matter how bad we screw this up, no matter how bad we, like, destroy this, creation that he's given us, he has, like, tiny little microbes that can come through and fix all of it. Whenever you go to these events, like the Sovereign Health Summit, whenever you go to, like, the one I was just at this past, the weekend before last, the Crunchy Mama Farms event, it was fantastic. It changed my perspective on Texas, honestly, because my long-term exposure to Texas has always been East Texas. They're further west for me. Every part of Texas is further west for me. But seeing that community there of like-minded people that were actually actively building community, or what Tag is doing up in Kansas, where he's actively building community. Him and his community just got rid of this organization that was wanting to put in like hundreds of acres of solar panels, and they just showed up to the town hall meeting and was like, "Nope, we don't want this." And they thought, like, all right, this is not worth the headache that these people are going to be putting us through. That it's easy to get blackpilled in this situation. But use the social media as a tool to find that in-person community. It is entirely possible to do. And once you find that in-person community, it honestly helps out. It really does help out.
It really does. I mean, it helps, with some of the people even here in the chat, when we're able, everybody's just super busy right now. Some folks had to take on other jobs. People are struggling just to put bread on the table in the worst kind of ways. But when you do get that little glimpse of being in the room with somebody else, it's like it adds wind in your sails in ways where you don't feel so isolated anymore. And David, don't think for a minute, I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
right,
where, you know, you're awake to these things and you may be in an environment where not one other person there, every single one of them is a drone. Where, and that's why I said in that video, I said, you know, one of the biggest, if you're going to pull something off, if you're going to do nefarious stuff as a government, you do it this time of year. You know why? Guys are watching football 7 days a week, and women are, by and large, concerned with the holidays and what they're going to get the kids and grandkids and stuff like that. Nobody's paying attention. So when you do some of the worst that you're going to do, you want to do it around the holidays, and this is where you're going to see it. Because by and large, nobody, everybody is in their stupor. And you are being infected by that 5G warfare. Look, the bottom line is, if you want to sum up everything we just said here, know yourself, know your community, build your community, know the tactics, and at the end of the day, seriously, don't play the game they want you to play. All right, I want to thank everybody out there. Thanks, Renewed Homestead, for handling the chat. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling that just through, through, through. Who's got the answer? All we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the shame. Watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin. In the cycle of life, for the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the vibe and thrive. So much weird stuff in the song.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.